Welcome to episode 126 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro podcast, recorded live on May 17th, 2019. This is a show about Office 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In today's episode, we dive into a listener question about how to handle privileged accounts in Azure Active Directory and associated workloads like Office 365.
Happy Friday, Scott.
Yeah, it's another Friday. I'm back on the right coast. I think I'm in an A time zone.
Yeah, so you took another red eye. It is another Friday afternoon. I have slept a grand total of 8 hours over the course of the last two nights. So who knows how this episode's going to go. Neither one of us have slept. We're a little slap happy.
Wait, you said 8 hours? You got me beat by two.
8 hours over two nights. So I got like 4 hours.
I'm saying you got me beat by two. My day was a little bit of a beatdown yesterday, so I took my lumps. I had to stay up late to fix some stuff to make it a good day.
So meaning I got you beat by two, meaning you only slept six over the last two nights?
Yeah, I got about 3 hours of sleep yesterday and 3 hours of sleep on my plane. So
don't you know what the U.S. attorney medical whoever says about sleep?
I should get probably more than 6 hours. But anyway, let's go ahead and talk tech. So maybe I can go take a nap.
Take a nap. You got home like 3 hours ago. You should be well rested.
There's a whole story that goes along with that, but we're not going to get into it.
You're not going to get into that?
Nope.
All right. I have all kinds of stories too about ranty stuff, but we're not going to do that either. We're going to have a happy episode, a happy Friday.
Excellent. Episode.
So this Friday, we have a listener question. I think this one came in, so I copied and pasted into our show notes, and I can't remember where I saw it. I think it was an email. I think this listener, I should try to find in a minute. You start talking about the question. I'm going to try to find out who actually sent it to me because I can't remember.
Oh, man. I'm guilty. There's a lot of pressure here.
Yeah, there is.
So the question relates to identity and management of privileged identity. And it sounds like within the context of Office 365, but I'm going to take this one as an Office 365 / Azure question because it does apply to both. So how should you handle your global admin accounts? And I'll kind of make that one a little wider and say maybe privileged accounts. There's just a lot of places where you need to have certain admin roles or role assignments within all these different products, SaaS products, and PaaS, and you know, all these things that we align to and subscribe to with Microsoft. And just maybe helping someone understand when it's appropriate to use those things. And think about advanced functionality that might be out there that can help you manage them a little bit better.
Right, because under the covers, and kind of like you said with Azure and Office 365, end of the day, it's all Azure AD accounts and how you grant those Azure AD accounts admin rights across various cloud technologies, whether it's Azure, whether it's Office 365. And I found it was Twitter. I was wrong. So this was Sven. He sent this over Twitter. He sent it to us a couple days ago. So figured we'd dive into it today.
Cool. Where do you think we should start?
So I'm going to go with his Office 365 one. You want to start in Office 365? Do you want to do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Opsgility is disrupting cloud training as we know it with their on-demand platform, SkillMeUp. Their new design focuses on a user flow to better support role-based learning paths with these great new features. Real-time, hands-on labs are now included with each subscription to build your skills competence. Hundreds of cloud courses with more added daily to transform your skills for today's cloud-first careers. Role-based learning paths guide you through associated level courses in an easy-to-view layout and tracker. Microsoft Azure and Microsoft 365 certification prep courses and labs to support you leading up to exam day. Learn more and start your free 3-day trial at www.skillmeup.com. Office 365 is interesting, and I kind of get what he's saying where you have all these different admin roles that are in Office 365, and they keep getting more and more of them. So I was just going to go in and look. Like Teams has a whole bunch of different admin roles. So SharePoint has one. You have all these admin roles for your different products. SharePoint, Exchange, Teams. I think Skype for Business is still a separate one as well. oh, I can't do it to this account. I can't look at them all with this one because it is my initial global admin. We could talk about that too, how you can't ever change that one.
Yeah.
Manage roles.
There's some stuff that happens.
Yes. So you get all of these admin roles. Now I've got my thing back. I get my mojo back. You have a Kazala. I haven't seen this one. Now you have a Kazala administrator. You have license administrators, Dynamics administrators. There is now a search administrator, Power BI service administrator, Scape for Business administrator, Teams administrator. You have all these administrators that all have different roles. They all have different access. Then you get into like help desk administrator, service administrator, user management administrator. I think even before you get into the different things of where you're one administrator and you think you should be able to do something and you can't, is Microsoft does actually document out, and we'll throw a link to this in the show notes, about all these admin roles and just what they can do. Kind of what is the purpose of these various administrators in Office 365. And I think that's a good place to start.
Everything you're talking about has absolutely nothing to do with Office 365. The roles have application in Office 365, but they're available in every single Azure Active Directory, because really what we're talking about is privileged roles within inside Azure AD. So, yep. So if I'm an Azure subscriber and I just have my default tenant, things like that, all these roles also exist in my directory, whether I have Office 365 or not. So it's going to be a little bit of a weird conversation. I just want to make sure we're grounded in it's not Office 365 roles. These are roles that are available within Azure Active Directory that then apply to certain products within Microsoft's landscape. Because, just for example, a global administrator, right? Because that's the one we started on, yep, they can do a bunch of stuff in Office 365, workload administration, all that kind of stuff. They can also do management in Azure AD. They can also escalate themselves into Azure to be able to manage subscriptions, maybe through management groups or things like that. So they kind of go cross stream. Or if we think about a user access administrator, they can do certain things in the admin portals for Microsoft 365, Office 365. They can do certain things in the Azure portal. And then we can also have like the same kind of role assignments within Azure itself to manage identity access management or role-based access control directly on resources in Azure. So it's just a really weird place. But I don't know. I'm a stickler for verbiage. They're not Office 365 roles. They're roles within Azure Active Directory.
So what you really wanted to say is you actually wanted to start in Azure, even though you gave me a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I just wanted to make sure that we're all on the same page, because I think it's one of those confusing things, you know. And I joke every talk I do about identity in Office 365, like, congratulations, you're all quasi Azure subscribers, right? Because you've got this tenant service things over there. And when we talk about maybe putting a link to documentation in the show notes, it's not going to go to Office 365 roles. It's going to go to administrator role permissions in Azure Active Directory, right? And send you over that way. And then there is specific documentation for Office 365, but I think it's easier to kind of maybe focus on an Azure AD side, and then we dive into workloads from there. But we can go however you want.
Well, I already tried to start and you started me over. We can start on the Azure AD side if you want to start there. Now that we've gone from these are the roles, so I will phrase that differently. Not Office 365 roles then. It is really, what we're saying is it's Azure AD roles, that specific Azure AD roles are surfaced in the Office 365 Admin Center to grant users various privileges in Office 365 through these, what are labeled as Office 365 admin roles, but are really those Azure AD roles sitting behind the scenes in Azure, where just they pick and choose specific ones to surface and label in some of their documentation as Office 365 admin roles.
Boom, you got it.
There, sweet. That has only taken us 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Kind of where it all boils down to is what you said, is understanding those role permissions. So they have one link that's, to your point, it's about the admin roles and it's about Office 365 admin roles. And they give you a high-level description of all of those. But like you said at the top, it says admin role permissions in Azure Active Directory. And then it does take you over to that Azure Active Directory user groups, roles, directories page, where it details out all of those roles in a lot more detail. And I think where where this does become important and where we've talked about before is because Office 365 and Azure do overlap when you start talking about some of the information rights management, conditional access, some of that stuff that is actually managed in Azure for your Office 365 tenancies, you kind of have to have these roles spanning them. And again, at the end of the day, Azure AD is the whole identity source for Office 365 anyways.
Yeah, you nailed it. I knew you'd get there. You'd come around.
I'm getting there. It's Friday. It goes back to the whole sleep thing. I don't know where I was going to go from there, though.
I think there's a couple different ways we can go. So once you recognize that roles kind of live in this other place, and they might do more than Office 365, and a global admin's maybe outside the bones, we can probably start to talk about things, maybe, you know, personal experience or actionable guidance that's out there. You know, think of it as maybe like the things that you should do right away once you spin up a tenant. You know, you mentioned, hey, you've got that default global admin, and now what do you start doing next? Is the next thing that you do, you go ahead and add 36 more global admins?
Absolutely. So I want to go back and hit on that one global admin a minute, because I did this in my tenant. I have second thoughts about the way I did this. And again, I did mine 6 years ago. What I believe you should do now, as you get going in Office 365, if you haven't done it yet, if you don't have your Office 365 tenant, it refers to kind of what I mentioned as I was taking my roundabout way to get to where we are now, is that that very first user that you create in your Office 365 tenant is a global admin, and that cannot be changed. At least I don't know of a way to do it. If I go in and try to change my role, at least in Office 365, maybe you could do some fancy scripting and all of that to alter it. But that initial user is the global admin, and that cannot be changed. I cannot manage the roles of that user. It's set in stone. So
correct.
When you create a new Office 365 tenant, you may not want to use your name. My tendency is my global admin is actually tied to my name. My name is a part of that admin account. It is not a generic admin account. It's not admin at mycompany.com. It's not super user at mycompany.com. It is a combination of my name. If I would ever leave, I mean, CEOs leave, the head of IT leaves, you may end up with a global admin account that's tied to a name of somebody that is no longer at your company.
Mm-hmm.
When you initially stand up your Office 365 tenant, don't make that first user yourself. Make that some type of generic account. You may not want to do admin. You may not want to do administrator, because let's face it, those are kind of easy to guess. And then people just have to figure out a password, depending on the whole MFA thing. But make sure when you stand up your Office 365 tenant, don't do what I did and use your name. Do something generic to your company. So that main, primary, unchangeable global admin will outlive you if need be.
Yeah.
There's my piece of guidance.
There's your piece of guidance. Yeah.
As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro.
So you're spot on with all of that. There's certain constraints that come along with creating those accounts and tenancies. You know, it's kind of like your on Microsoft.com domain namespace is baked in on day one. And then that not only affects the way your cloud accounts are named, but it also affects the way that certain web properties, you know, like your SharePoint tenancy, manifest yep. themselves up to the world. So there's a little bit of planning and kind of forethought that goes into that. once you've got that first one and you start doing things, if you're in Microsoft land, there's actually a pretty good article that you can hop into. So it's titled Securing Privilege Access for Hybrid and Cloud Deployments in Azure AD. And, you know, if you're thinking just Office 365, again, you might not find it because it's an Azure AD thing, but we'll put a link in the show notes. And it kind of walks you through a bit of a miniaturized project plan to think about, here's the things that you should do within the first 2 days, 1 to 2 days of standing up a new tenant. Here's the things that you should think about maybe once you're a little bit past that and you're a little more established. And then even long tail, how do you operationalize this entire workload and get it to where it needs to be? I think one of the first things you can do is not go and add a million other global admins to your tenant, right? If somebody walks in, even if you're like a super large enterprise and, you know, you've got however many tens of thousands of seats of Office 365, if you come in and you do an audit for global administrators and you find that you have 20 people that are in that role all the time, that's a little crazy. You might want to dial that back and think about some of the advanced features that are out there, especially when it comes to things like per user licensing and per user entitlements for advanced functionality, all that good kind of stuff within Azure AD. So one of the first things you do is you start to take a look at conditional access. So you mentioned MFA, multi-factor authentication. So for that very first user, that very first cloud identity, you probably want to go and take a look at MFA. MFA is free for Azure AD privileged roles and workload administrators. So that's things like Exchange Online admins, SharePoint admins, and certainly global admins. There's even a conditional access policy, which is sitting out in conditional access, which you don't have to pay for. It is free for you to enforce MFA for those privilege role assignments right off the bat. That being said, you know, go ahead, take a look at that and say, all right, I'm a little more secure. We've thought about this. The next thing that you kind of think about along the way there is we walk down that security plane. How many of these should I have? Maybe you start thinking about other types of licensing that might be available to you for some of those users that are out there. And that's a consideration. We'll get into kind of that. Very next thing, go create yourself some break glass accounts. So now you have MFA on a user account. And, you know, let's say it's your example, Ben, where you're the administrator for your own tenancy. And maybe you've got MFA coming against your phone or you're doing passwordless, whatever it is.
Yep.
And, you know, it's tied to your watch and all that good kind of stuff. What happens if your watch breaks and your phone gets stolen? How are you going to get back into your tenant? Like that's a valid question that you've got to come back and ask yourself. So what you really need to look at there is a break glass account. And Microsoft, again, does have some guidance out there for these and thinking about how to align, you know, what's a right number of accounts. So if you look at kind of like Microsoft's real world implementation of it, you know, they say start with at least two. You might need more, you know, you might have something else going on, again, based on the size of your organization. But go ahead and start with at least two of those. So what's a break glass account? Or the article is going to be emergency access accounts. These are accounts that are cloud-only users. They are going to live in your default namespace, so tenantname.onmicrosoft.com. They're not going to live in one of your custom domains. They're not going to be a federated user. They're not going to come from on-prem anyplace else. Because again, if all that other stuff goes away for some reason, you have a way to get into your tenant and get it to where it needs to be. These can be MFA registered accounts. You might want to think about ways to have really secure passwords and maybe do other conditional access controls, like maybe trusted locations, so that you can have at least one account that doesn't have MFA on it for all the other reasons. And then it's the thing that has the really secure password. You know, you write it down on a post-it note, you cut the post-it note into three pieces and you go paste it on three admins' monitors. Then you need all three of them to put the password together and get it to where it needs to be. I was joking about the monitors. Don't put the passwords on your monitors.
Wow. That was super secure.
Yeah.
And what they do say is they say take those two. And if you do want to do MFA on your break glass accounts, you do have that option to not do a phone-based MFA. Do an email-based MFA, or that's about the only other option besides a phone. I mean, you could always do like call me on an office number, but take one of those and make sure it's not that phone-based MFA. For your example, you lose your phone, you can't get the authenticator app set up, you can't get to it. If you can get to Office 365, I'm pretty sure you are going to be able to get to another email account by nature of you can connect to the internet.
As long as you had a token or whatever it was. It is all to go to say, you should, you know, you listener, as a consumer of an Office 365 product that you bought, it's on you to go ahead and configure it and get it to where it needs to be. If you lock yourself out of your own tenancy on the first day, there's not too much anybody can do to help you.
No, and to be fair, you can do that. Microsoft will give you warnings when you're doing conditional access. It is possible to completely lock yourself out of your own tenant. So be careful. The nice thing too about these emergency accounts, the Bright Glass accounts, as far as I know, and based on my understanding of licensing, and I'm not a licensing expert, is these do not have to be licensed users either. So you do not have to pay for two additional licenses just to have your emergency accounts. You go create them, you assign them global admin rights. You don't want to give them an E1 or an E3. If you do need those Bright Glass accounts, you just log in as a global admin to be able to get to Azure AD. I believe that's the case. I don't know if you have any insight there, Scott, because I'm not a certified licensing expert, but that is my understanding.
So they don't need to be licensed accounts, but you certainly do need to be licensed to manage some workloads along the way. So yes, you can have that global admin that's hanging out there. I just want to be clear. When you're saying licensing, you're saying like assigning a SharePoint license or
right,
like an E3.
Like a SharePoint license. You're just creating an unlicensed user that is a global admin in your tenant.
Right. So now we're back to this whole Azure Office 365 thing, because there could be user licensing that you might want to have for that user, specifically in Azure AD, because now we get into like the P1, P2s, and do I need the additional security that comes out of those and have all that stuff. So there might be P1, P2 licensing that might be rolled up in EMS or some other licensing suite, but they don't need specific workload licenses. Like you can have them hanging out there on the side until, you know, they need a workload license. And then at some point you might end up, the main SharePoint admin account got hacked and it was the only one that you had, and now it's gone and it's gone away. Well, now you go in with one of those other global admin accounts and maybe you create a new one and you have the ability to do a license assignment to a new account, or you reallocate, or you know, whatever it is.
One of those, you started talking about the EMS, the P2. There is a specific feature Microsoft recommends, and this kind of gets into Sven's question a little bit too, and my opinion about the whole global admin versus specific product admins and some ways you can get around that or help to compensate for that, is there is a feature that is a part of Azure AD P2, which means you go buy the Premium 2 or you go buy the EMS E5 that includes the Azure AD P2. And that is this Azure AD privileged identity management. And this is, I have a client that they're working on rolling this out because they did exactly what we had talked about, where they did not have this licensing right out front. We had a bunch of global admins, and finally they were like, it took us like a year and a half to get them to go buy these Premium 2 licenses, but they got them, and now they're rolling out this privileged identity management that essentially allows you to not have any additional global admins other than maybe those one or two emergency accounts and the one that set it up. And it is a just-in-time, I need admin access, I'm going to go request it. Maybe I can approve myself. Maybe it has to go through another approver. But I now have one or two, maybe three accounts with global admins. Nobody else is a global admin until they go in and specifically request that privileged identity management, that upgrade to a global admin or a product admin. And then they only get it for a certain period of time before they get revoked and put back to a normal user.
Correct. So this is where some of that licensing stuff might come into play. And keep in the back of your head, if you're thinking like, well, I don't want to buy P2s or EMS licenses for all of my users, it's a per user entitlement. So for the really important things like your global admin account, this is probably an option. So you should not be living your day-to-day life. If you are a user and you are not one of those break glass accounts, one of the things you don't want to do in the cloud, because now we've got the licensing thing, right? This whole per-user entitlement. You know, lots of organizations, even on-prems, you still have your user account and then you have your admin account, right? You have two separate things. In Office 365, you don't want to have two separate things because your user account already has the license assigned with it. You don't want to have to buy a second license just so you can do workload administration, right? And buy another SharePoint license or Exchange or Global Yep. Admin, whatever it is. So what you do is this feature is all about kind of living the best life that you can. If, like, for me, I'm a user 90% of the time. You're going into OneDrive, you're going into SharePoint, you're just managing resources in Azure, whatever it happens to be. You're a regular happy-go-lucky person. When you need that functionality, like you said, you do just-in-time escalation into a role, into that privileged role. Somebody else has already set up the rule. They've said, yes, Ben is allowed to be a global admin, but he's only allowed to be a global admin for an hour. And when Ben wants to be a global admin for an hour, Bob over here has to approve it. That's the rule that's associated with that role and drives it through. And then you come back and you're like, well, Ben will push back because he's an IT pro and he's going to say, what if I need access for more than an hour? Well, you come back and you renew and you do it again. And maybe you have a conversation about what that actual security rule would look like, right? Like, how long do you need access? What should we make the role assignments look like? Should we require approvals? Because there is that level of flexibility within the system along the way.
Yep. It's a no-brainer in my opinion. Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info. So looking just from a pure monetary perspective, like you said, a lot of companies are used to that whole mindset of I have an admin account and I have a normal account. So let's just say, because I felt like it, I did that. I needed a SharePoint admin account and I had my normal account. A SharePoint Online Plan 2 account to give me access to everything is $10 per user per month. I can go buy Azure AD Premium P2 and get the privileged identity management for $9 a user a month. So now I only have one account. I'm saving myself a buck a month, mm-hmm. $12 a year. And I am much more secure because now I don't have that global admin account sitting out there, or that even that SharePoint admin account sitting out there that's just a SharePoint admin all the time. So if you are doing Office 365, if you have multiple admin accounts, get rid of multiple admin accounts and at least just go buy Azure AD Premium P2. Maybe you upgrade to EMS E5 for another like $5, $6 or so. But I think this also gets into kind of what Sven talks about is where he's like, well, I have users, I give them that SharePoint admin role or that Exchange admin role. And then for whatever reason, they need something that requires just that step up to a global admin role or a different admin role. If you enable this privileged identity management for all of your SharePoint admins or Exchange admins, they can go in and request, hey, I'm doing my SharePoint admin duties, but I ran across this one exception where I need some elevated admin rights. Now go request the privileged identity management, request that global admin, fill in your reason. It goes to your manager. They're like, oh yeah, he's supposed to be doing this. Great. He needs the global admin role for an hour to go do it. Great. We'll give it to him. Then we'll take it away. So you're not having to give somebody that global admin all the time or even have them request global admin all the time as a SharePoint admin. It's just that it it gives you that ability to get global admin in that one-off case where there's something that doesn't quite fit into that SharePoint admin role.
Yeah, it gives you the ability not just to do global admin, like it lets you escalate and do that just-in-time escalation into any Azure Active Directory role. Right. So it's not just global admins. You could have somebody escalate into like user access administrator, into password administrator, help desk, you know, all those kinds of things. So as people need to go about their day-to-day jobs and action, you can certainly improve your posture. We're still in that like day one, day two phase, right? Like evaluate PIM, turn it on, figure out those break glass accounts or emergency access, whatever we're going to call them, light that stuff up. And then once you get to some of that phase, you're talking about more established workloads, things like that. Hopefully by that point, you've had some time to turn on all the auditing and logging features so you can capture sign-in logs, activity logs, you know, because you still want to know what that SharePoint admin who says they need to be a global admin when they really don't, you know, you still want to be able to track that all the way through and just figure out what's going on with them along the way. So now you start to look at it a little bit longer tail, you know, you just turn it into day-to-day operations, right? You're going to operationalize this system that you've purchased.
Exactly. And now if you want to, because we can sprinkle in one bit of news at the end, you can now do a 256 character password in Azure AD to make your account super secure.
Yay! And they updated the UIs and things, so you don't have to just do it with the REST APIs anymore.
Yeah, that's the way I always change my passwords. I go into PowerShell and write scripts that interact with the REST APIs to update passwords.
You end up in the graph.
And I was telling you, I use the password list now. That's been pretty solid for me most of the time. So I can go set a 256 character password that I never have to remember until it doesn't work. And then I have a really long password. That's where password managers come in. I hope that answers Sven's question a little bit. And I think it's less about kind of what we said. It's less about knowing how to, which admin accounts you need to grant people at different times for those weird one-offs, or maybe even not necessarily understanding what, have a basic understanding, but you don't have to know every intricacy of Azure and Office 365 and what those admin roles do. As long as you leverage something like the Privileged Identity Management, do that so that when those one-offs do come up that you may not know about, you at least empower your users to request that admin access. Again, whether it's global admin or maybe it's a user admin because they're dealing with user accounts, but it's about empowering your users to get the access they need in a controlled manner to be able to perform those activities that maybe they don't have off the bat. Or again, elevate themselves from normal user, now I need SharePoint admin. Oh, now I hit that one thing, so now I need Exchange admin, and request those different admin roles as they're needed.
Yeah, you nailed it.
All right. And with that, should I let you go take a nap?
No, I should let you go to work.
I don't want to go to work. I'm upset at Office 365 right now.
Well, we'll rant about that another time.
Yes. So I think that does it. Go enjoy your day, Scott. Enjoy your weekend. If you haven't yet, go sign up for the Teams Summit because I like promoting myself at the very end.
There we go.
No, it kind of goes into this. I'm doing a governance session. I think I mentioned that last time. It'll be good, but we will wrap it up. Links for all this stuff, documents, roles, privilege identity management in the show notes. Go check them out. And if anybody else has listener questions, let us know because we always love listener questions because it's fun to dive into the issues that you guys are facing or questions you have instead of just randomly picking stuff.
Absolutely. Thanks, man.
Yep. Thanks, Scott. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.